What's up, guys? It's your girl, Carlene, with Strong with Carlene, helping you guys become stronger every day. Guys, some crazy stuff happened. I know you just tuned in, but some crazy stuff happened. So we were filming the podcast with Mondo, and tell me why, guys. The enemy got upset because I was talking about Jesus with Mondo. In the middle of everything was functioning very good. As soon as we started talking about God, tell me why one of our cameras shut off. And then in the middle of it too, one of our mics turned off too. Let me just tell you this. There is power in the name of Jesus, and somebody was upset, but you know what? That's why you're going to hear a recording. I didn't want you guys to miss out on this amazing podcast with Mondo because I'm really proud of him and I'm really honored to have him on my podcast. So if it sounds a little bit different, guys, it's because I'm making it happen. Just know that God is making a way for us. Even our recording that we did, it's not even uploading either. So I did not want you guys to miss out on this podcast, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and play for you guys. It's going to sound a little bit different, but I hope you guys get the message. And here we go, guys, right now.
What's up, everybody? It is your girl, Carlene, with Strong with Carlene, helping you guys become stronger every day. Guys, today we have a special guest. It's a little bit different, so it's not just going to be me talking by myself or anything like that. I have a special guest, and I'm so excited to introduce him. Guys, allow me to introduce Mr. Armando Lopez, a highly accomplished entrepreneur and business owner with successful track record of building and selling multiple brands, guys. And also my honey bunny that I love with all my heart. So anyways, Armando, are you excited to be on my podcast?
I don't know. This feels really weird. It feels really weird because, I've never done any podcast before. I don't do lives or anything like this, so we've got this humongous light on my face. So
it is pretty hot in here, though.
It is. This is a first.
And by the way, guys, I know my hands are pink. It's because, you know, with this hair, there's maintenance, so I have to put on some, like, pink shampoo. Anyways, guys, back to Mr. Lopez. Okay, Mr. Lopez.
Oh, forgive me, guys. They're going to have to, like, warm up and get into this, so...
I know you're a little bit nervous.
No, I'm just like I was telling Carlene earlier, it's kind of like, you know, like when you don't know how to dance and then you get pulled onto the dance floor and they're like, I'm dancing, but I don't know what to do with my hands. It's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I got to get up and dance for you guys.
I think you should get up and dance for you. So, okay, Armando. So aside, I'm not going to talk to you like you're my boyfriend.
Okay.
Because right now, you know, it's business, guys.
Right.
And a lot of people want to know so many things about you because honestly, you're very interesting. And honestly, just having you here, it's such an honor because, you know, guys, if you guys didn't know my story, like when I started being an entrepreneur, like he was one of the first people that actually reached out. He actually helped me out build my business. And any type of question that I actually had, you know, when it came to business and stuff like that, I would go to him and he would always answer me and always be like very, very helpful. So, Mondo, a lot of people have a lot of questions. You guys submitted a lot of good questions,
you've
by the way.
Me about that.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of people submitted a lot of questions because they want to know, like, you know, how did you go from a millionaire to losing it all? To finally gaining it back in so many different ways.
Okay.
Well,
I'll try. You want me to answer that one?
Want me to ask some questions first, and then we can take you there.
Just so we can kind of like warm up. Yeah, let's like.
Just give them a.
Let me stretch first.
So one question first, because you know, I think a lot of people always have a conflict, like they have a goal, they have a dream that they want to start, right? They want to start a business, but they just have no idea where to start off.
Right.
Like, you know, one of the questions was, you say, how did you get started and what actually motivated you to get started?
Okay. Well, I guess like the best answer, I know it's kind of cliche, but the best answer is to always do something that you love. A lot of businesses that, you know, a lot of people who get into, you know, their own business, a lot of time they're doing something that they didn't really plan for it to be a business to begin with. You know, maybe you're a mechanic, you like working on cars. Maybe you're in fitness, and you like taking supplements like me. Maybe you're a doctor and you decide that you want to do things a little bit differently. And so you open up your own practice. So the reason why I say that is because starting a business or being an entrepreneur is not easy. It's really, a lot of times it pays, you don't get paid anything for a long time before you even get to be able to pay your bills. So if you're gonna take that route, it's because you wanna present something to the world, you wanna make a change, or you have a vision of something you want to provide to other people, whether it be a better product, better service, or information. That's something you have to really think about, because it's not going to be as easy as you think. So if you're doing it for the money, don't even waste your time.
Don't even waste your time. You know, a lot of people honestly want to know too, because it's like, there's a thing, like people always think like it's so hard to start a business. Mm. They think it's so hard to be an entrepreneur. They think it's so hard, you know, like I want to be that, but I think I will never be able to do that. Well, if you go with that mentality, you're never going to get it done.
Right.
You know, I feel like one thing that me and Armand have always, we've always done is when we want to do something, we just do it. Like, we're not afraid to jump, you know? And I think that's the thing about being an entrepreneur is you just got to go for it, you know? Mm-hmm. You just can't be scared, because if you don't take those chances, you're never going to know what you're capable of doing. You might fail. You might not even fail. You might be super successful, but at least you know that you did something, you know?
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, Armando. How long have you been in the industry, and how many, like, tell me everything about you. Like, people want to know, because there's a lot of people think that don't know about you, because I know everything about you, baby.
Well, I'll try to, like, summarize it the best I can, because I don't, you know, obviously it's not Joe Rogan. We're not going to be on for 3 hours.
And it's going to be Carly Rogan. Yeah, not just say.
Anyways, okay, so, you know, for me, I never knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur until I started to associate myself around other people that were entrepreneurs. Then I was kind of like, whoa, what is this? You know, these people they're coming to work out on their own time, doing what they want. You know, they had their own schedule, and then all I knew was how to do a 9-to-5. So when I had my first job at this gym called the Spectrum Club in Puente Hills, that was when I was around a lot of Chinese, Asian business owners. And, you know, for some reason, I just became friends with a lot of them. And they kind of opened my mind from, you know, I graduated high school thinking I wanted to be a firefighter to then thinking, okay, well, I think I want to be a business owner. But I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I dabbled in a little bit of network marketing here or there until finally, you know, I kind of, you know, I would think I got very patriotic. I think we all did during that time. We got very patriotic after 9/11, and I ended up joining the military. So in the military, when I found out that I was going to have Alana, my first daughter, that's when I decided, you know, I wanted to make some extra money for her. You know, I wanted to give her the nice things when she came to this world. So I got a part-time job at a supplement store. And there I started working for this, so I kind of forget the name of the store already, but I was working there, and the gentleman that owned that store, he had his own supplement brand. So he kind of introduced me to how I can actually own my own product line and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, this is actually pretty easy, you know?
You got inspired by that.
I got inspired by that, you know, because again, I saw this guy doing his own thing, you know.
You're like, I want to do that.
Living life on his terms, you know?
You're like, I want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And so then when I got up, but again, still, I didn't know I wanted to be a supplement owner. So here's how like what I was talking about earlier, how sometimes you kind of just fall into it. So when I got out of the military, I didn't know what I was going to do yet. I kind of thought about opening a store or something like that. But I was like, dude, I really miss getting those discounts on the supplements, you know. And I had friends that were saying, hey, can you still hook me up a protein, whatever? And I was like, no, I can't. And then I found a way to start my own business. Actually, I started the business just so I can get discounts on my own supplements. Yeah, it's funny, right?
That's funny.
And it turned into something that I started with $800 on a credit card. We had some guy overseas built a website, and before I knew it, part-time, I was making almost $200,000 to $300,000 a year in sales revenue on this business. And I was just like, well, okay, I guess this is a business, you know? And then my love for sports nutrition and dietary supplements just grew from there, and I envisioned myself going from retailer to a product line owner to eventually, hopefully, a manufacturer owner, so... That's kind of quickly
like a little snippet.
Yeah, of how you can kind of like fall into entrepreneurship.
And sometimes, you know, you don't know, like things just happen. Like you said, things just happen the way they need to happen. And sometimes you don't even plan for something to happen, you know?
Exactly.
Like for me, I'll give you an example with Lay of Faith. I thought I was going to do Lay of Faith cosmetics forever and sell makeup, but it's just like I found my passion somewhere else.
Right.
And we fall, we all
Yeah, and it's something like you and I have, and a lot of entrepreneurs, like, you know, you're an entrepreneur because you have it inside of you. So like, you can be a McDonald's, you can be anywhere out, and for some reason you'll be there on your third week or you're like, I can do this myself.
Yeah.
Like you're already kind of thinking, visualizing like, man, I can do this for myself. Like there's an entrepreneurial spirit right there. So I think that's something that I think, you know, you'll know if you're an entrepreneur or not. And, you know, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you just got to take that risk. Like Carlene was talking about earlier, and just go for it. And you fail, but at least you know.
Yes, it's pretty crazy, you know, looking at all your stuff and your stories and things that you went to, like you went to the military and then you saw the, what is it, the multi-level marketing. Like, yeah, it's pretty crazy because I think during this time we all went through that.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, 2001?
2001,
yeah. Yeah, around that time.
Mine was like 2x2.net or something.
I did Primerica and then I did HBW. So I used to be a financial advisor, guys, back in the days, and I even sold Primerica. I sold life insurance and stuff. It was cool. It was dope. I think that's where I also got inspired, because just seeing everybody be so successful in so many ways that I like that lifestyle, you know? So it's funny because me and you both come from that background.
Yeah. And I think this, and I think I will never talk about network marketing, because there are a lot of skills that you can learn from those things. I mean, I imagine at 18, 19 years old, I'm wearing a suit, going to these meetings, watching these people talk, and just paying attention to how they move their hands and how they speak, and it's almost like you're taking a class on entrepreneurship in a sense, or a presentation, you know. So there's a lot of cool things that you can take away from network marketing. So I'll probably say, like you, like I agree with you, there's a lot of those fundamental skills that I learned having tried and gone through network marketing, right?
I honestly, that's one thing that I loved about it, just because I learned so much, and I was surrounded, even at 18, 17, 18, I was surrounded by people that were older than me, you know, instead of me wanting to go party, like, I wanted to grow, you know, with these people. And it's crazy because we went to Vegas one time for a Primerica event, and I remember being in Vegas, in the bars. Did you just hear my mouth? In the bars, in the bars. And
she's hiding a secret from you guys. It's not from here.
I'm not from here, guys. I'm from the bar. No. It's crazy because I was in the bars. All my friends were in their late 20s, early 30s, and some 40-year-olds, you know? And I remember going there. I was the youngest one there. But I was just so excited to just soak up everything that finally went to the bar and stuff like that. Everybody was just like, wait a minute, she looks too young. But you couldn't really tell because I was hanging out with older people.
Right.
Finally, when the lady came and asked for my drink order, I was like, no, I'm okay, thinking that's what she knew, that I was not 21. But I was living my life during that time. Like, what inspired you the most about when you saw the whole network marketing?
I think, I mean, just like
the
anything.
Cars, I think.
The cars, yeah. I remember one of the gym I was working at, the Spectrum Club, one of the members came in, and, you know, she pulled up in a Mercedes CLK, and I had 2x2.net on there. And then I was like, what is that? And she's like, you don't know. Like, I thought I had missed the memo or something like that, you know? And she's like, I'm going to pick you up at this, you know, this time, and we're going to go. So I was like, okay.
Some lady picking them up.
Yeah. So her and her boyfriend at the time picked me up, and then we go to this presentation, and it's me and like three other kids I don't even know. And then we pull up at this hotel, and all of a sudden you see this blue Lamborghini pull up, and then an orange Lamborghini pull up, and then out of the Lamborghinis gets these young kids and maybe about my age. And I was like, and that, to me, remember, you got to remember at this time, there was no social media, there was no Instagram. So here I am at 18, 19 years old, watching a kid just like me get out of this amazing car.
Like, I want that.
So in that moment, I instantly saw, I can have that. That's achievable, because look, he's just like me, you know, I can relate to that. I think that was my first aha moment, like, oh, there's more. Because I didn't come from a background of entrepreneurship. You know, my dad had a good job, and, you know, no one in my circle and, you know, in my life were entrepreneurs. So I didn't know what entrepreneurship was.
Mm.
So
isn't it crazy how I hear a lot of these stories where, you know, a lot of people that become entrepreneurs is because they either struggled when they were younger, or they lived that life where they struggled, or they came from somewhere they've never had. So like, a lot of people that become entrepreneurs, they just try to break that cycle.
Right.
Do you feel like you fit in that category?
Yes and no. I get what you're saying. A lot of people who struggle, they, you know, we go back to talking about how certain people learn certain skills. When, you know, I feel like a lot of people who struggle, you automatically learn those skills, like, I got to make it happen or I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of that grit that's required when you go into entrepreneurship. Like, you don't make it happen, you're out of business. You know what I mean?
You have to be hungry.
Yeah. So for me, I think I went down a different path where, you know, my family, my parents were always very supportive, and, you know, they gave me what I needed, but I didn't really have everything I ever wanted, if that makes any sense. Sorry, Mom, Dad, you're watching, but it's the truth. And so I always had this mentality myself, because I had the entrepreneur spirit. I always had this, like, if he can have it, why can't I have it? That's the, I've always asked myself that. If he can have it, if it can be done, I can do it. Okay. And so I always had that mentality. So when I went into entrepreneurship, I always went there like, okay, again, if that kid jumped out of the Lamborghini, I can also
jump it too.
Right. So I think that's what helped me take that entrepreneurial spirit and then let's do something with it. You know, because it wasn't until recently, like, we, you know, we're about to get into later, yeah. that I understood that I had to go back to Struggle 101 and take that course.
Yeah, it's honestly, I think that's the thing. Like, people are so afraid to follow their goals and dreams because they're afraid to fail, you know. Mm. And we know about failure. We know about the struggle. We know what it's like to have it and to not have it. And we know what it's like to lose it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that, Armando, like, you know, when I met you, let me tell you guys about Armando. When I met Armando, this is the crazy part. When I met Armando, I used to take his supplements. He had a company called Hybrid. And I used to take his supplements. Those were the first supplements I ever took besides like GNC and stuff like that. But those were the first supplements I ever took that I loved because the formula was just so amazing that it gave me the results that I always wanted. I would even recommend my friends to it and stuff like that. And so everybody's like, what supplements are you taking? I'm like, dude, I'm taking a Hybrid. You guys need to try it, you know? And so anyways, when I met him, which we will never talk about how we actually met.
that's a different type of podcast.
That's a different type of story. But anyways, his products were so amazing. So when I finally met him, I knew that I wanted to keep taking his supplements and stuff because the fact that his supplements were so good, the formula would just fit for me. I wasn't like a normal lifter. I wasn't like those hardcore lifters, but the fact that I can be a normal person and take his supplements and give me the results that I wanted, I really liked that. And I really liked how you like formulated everything.
Yeah.
But when you first started, Armando, like, one of the questions is, like, how much money did you start with? And did you have a lot of money? Did you have to put a lot of money? Like, how did, like, what did you have to do? Like, did you have to sell your car? Did you have to sell blood? You know, what did you do?
No, even to this day, everything that I've done has been grassroots. It's been, I wasn't given the opportunity to start anything with a lot of funds, tools, or resources, even connections. So everything is earned. But it's because I've always had that mentality of, there's a way to figure it out, you know? So like I said, when I started the Orbit Nutrition, which was my first company, it was a retail company, it was $800 on a credit card. So with that $800, I had to create a website and find, you know, pay for domains and internet service. And as well, find a way to, how do I sell product? If I can barely have a website made, how am I going to buy product? So I found a distributor that allowed me to sell product as a drop ship. So I didn't have to have any inventory. I sold something, came from them, and it looked like it was coming from me, but it really wasn't.
Isn't it crazy how, like, you had drop ship back in the days before it was, like, popular?
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is 2006.
Man, and now we're in 2024. Right. Drop ship's, like, so easy. You can even sell product without even having it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody was on Instagram was telling you how to become a drop ship millionaire. You know?
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, that's one example. Then with, you know, I sold that company, didn't even make that much money, but with that money, took that little bit of money and started Genomics, and that was my supplement brand. And then even with that money, you know, I sold another company, but I made a, you know, I said, okay, I want to start Recon and, you know, Hybrid. I only have a little bit of money. I knew that money's not going to really do much. So I took that little bit of money on top of negotiating terms with the manufacturer that I had. So I said, okay, well, if I have a little bit of money and he's making me product at a very small quantity at cost, then now all of a sudden I have a lot of a bigger pot of resources. So it's being resourceful with what you do have. You know, if you got $10, that $10, you got to maximize it and get the most you can with that when you're starting any type of business.
Exactly. I feel like that's one of my biggest...
Your biggest powers right there.
Yeah, that is my power. Like, I can make $5. I that's just been me. You've always said it in so many ways. Like, dude, how do you do this with so little?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just make it happen. And that's the thing, guys. Like, when you're an entrepreneur, or if you only have $20, you think, like, okay, if it's something that I can do by myself, or can I stretch it out? Because a lot of people think that it's so hard, but it's really not. It's just getting the hard part is just getting started.
That's the thing.
That's the hardest part.
You just got to get going. You can't say, I'm not going to start because I don't have the money. You can't say, I'm not going to start because I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have the connections. Nobody does at the beginning. Nobody has all the answers figured out, you know? Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people don't understand.
They don't. But another thing to Armando, let's get into the juicy story because people want to know. Okay, how much money did you make when with all your brands? Like, what is the, like, if you can look at your bank account, you know, like, how much money did you make? And you were like, dude, I can't believe I achieved this. Mm. Like, with your brands, like, everything that you were like, dude, I feel successful.
That's a tough question. Because I think it's different for everybody, right? And with the most successful brand that I had was Recon Nutrition, obviously. But there was a time where Recon Nutrition was making, like, crazy money. And then I had a little bit of hybrid and then a little bit of alpha breed. So, like, combined, you know, every month we were doing, like, $150,000, $200,000 a month in revenue.
Hold on. How much were you making a month?
Sales were doing about $150,000, $200,000 a month.
Okay, so you guys hear that? How much in sales were you doing a month?
About $150,000,
$200,000. Guys, that's $150,000. Yeah. That's like the down payment. Well, not a down payment to a house. That's, yeah, like, that's crazy. Like, when I first started working there and he would tell me, I was like, wait, how much did you make a month? He goes, we're in revenue. We made $150,000. I'm like, so you guys were making that a month? He goes, yeah, $150,000.
Yeah. And then at that time, the way the manufacturing was and how much we were able to charge for our products, the profit margin on that was about 40, sometimes 50%, but maybe 40%. Wow. So 40% of that was able to come back into the business.
That's pretty crazy. The thing is like, a lot of people think just because you're making that money, like, you have all this money, but you guys got to think about all the stuff that you guys have to spend for, like, the product you have to spend, you know, in the shipping, you got to spend in your employees and stuff like that. So I think that's where a lot of people get, like, they think, like, you have a business and you're making this much, but they think you're getting all that for yourself.
No, so, like, when Carlene says I'm a millionaire, it's not that I had $1 million in the bank account, but it was like my company was doing $1.32, almost $3 million in sales, and there's a lot that comes into that. I mean, it's the how much product you have. At one time, we had $150,000 worth of product in our warehouse. All the other assets and things, cars and things that we have, it accumulates to the total value of what you're worth. And I think that's what she was means by that. But I think the time where I was felt like really comfortable. Whereas, because, like, it's like when you're building something, right? You put one brick, and then one brick, and one brick, and one brick. And then before you know it, you're like, whoa, I'm pretty high, you know? And that's what it was like for me. It was like, I remember, working with Alan. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, there being,
we,
like,
love Alan, by the way.
I remember there being, you know, 8,000, 10,000, 30,000, 60,000, 8,000. And I remember I got to a point where I, you know, finally looked back, and then it was, like, almost 400,000 in the account. But it was like, it was ours. It didn't belong. It was like everything was paid. All the invoices and POs were paid. And it was like, oh shoot, we can make whatever product we want now. And not have to worry about the money. We can do whatever we want.
Spend it now.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
We can reward ourselves.
Yeah,
now.
That was the point where we look back and we're like, whoa, okay.
That's
we
awesome.
We do have the freedom to do what we want.
Were you scared to spend any of that money on Wanda?
I was. Yeah, and I, because when you're going through those struggles, you get I call it PTSD in the mind of, financial PTSD. And when I did finally get to that point, yeah, I was. I actually wanted to buy my first car, and I had to convince myself. I had to go to therapy just to figure out, like, you know, why can I not buy this car, you know? I was on the internet, and I was like, am I selfish for buying, you know, if I have a family, buying a two-door car, you know? And then I remember I was working with a therapist at the time, and then she told me, who told you? Who's telling you that this is not a good idea? And I said,
you're like, nobody.
It's me telling myself. And that's when I did it. And then when I went for it, I kind of broke that little barrier that I had.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you rewarded yourself. Yeah. And I know sometimes because you never had something like that, you're like, shoot it. I feel like very guilty to even buy something for myself. I know even for me, like I've been in that situation where I actually, you know, got something or accomplished something. I was like, I feel guilty if I buy myself something. And I feel like you should always reward yourself because you did the hard work. Right. Obviously, if I made $10,000, am I going to go spend a $5,000 on a purse when I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend that much money. But it made sense. You had the extra and it was time for you to reward yourself.
There's like these little mental blocks that you have to level up on. And it's like, everybody knows that, like, you do need to reward yourself, right? But once you get to that point after you've struggled for so long and you get to that point, it's time to reward, there's like a little mental block where something's stopping you. And then those are those little things you got to kind of break through them. Otherwise, you're never going to grow.
What is something that you regret as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, that you think that, man, if I wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't have lost it all? What is something that you're like, geez, like if I would have done this better, I feel like I wouldn't have lost it.
I think maybe number one is probably, I wish I would have had a relationship with God a lot earlier in my life. I always believed in God and I always talked to God, but never in the way that I really had a relationship with him. You know, I would say just because I knew he was there. But I say that because a lot of my growth and a lot of who I am today, a lot of, you know, I still have a lot of ego, but a lot of control over the ego that I have has come in my growth that I've been doing with God. And so I felt like if I would have found God a lot earlier in my life, I would have been able to take a step back at a lot of these points where the ego was in control, you know? And I was like, because, you know, also too, a lot of things when you're doing entrepreneurship and you do, like, I went through like 10 years of grinding before everything just shot out, right? And when it happens so fast. Yeah, I literally went from nothing to 1.3 million in a year and a half.
Things can change fast.
They can change that fast. And when things grow that fast, especially when, you know, I was business immature. I didn't have a lot of maturity in regards to investments and, you know, forecasting and stuff like that. So not only did I not have that knowledge, but then I was also reacting to things with ego. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like if I would have gone to God and God would have been in my life, in my business, I feel like he would have guided me more. But maybe he was and I wasn't listening.
Because sometimes we don't listen. That's the thing. He's always talking to us. Yeah. And I'm really glad that you brought up about God, because that is actually one of our questions is, where is it at? Let me find it. Because we have a lot of questions here, guys. What is life? Let's see. As an entrepreneur, what do you, okay, I got this one. Sorry, guys. is it difficult to be in a relationship with, this is all the wrong question, too.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Jeez. My bad, guys. Ignore me right now. Okay. What is your life now from before better? How is your life now with Jesus and your, like, with everything in life? Like, now in your business? Like, do you include him in everything now?
Yeah.
Are you closer to him? Are you like, Jesus, I got to do this with you? Or do you feel like it's the old Mondo where I need to do this by myself, within myself, and I got what it takes?
It's combination of both still. I'm not, okay, I'm a Christian because I follow Christ and I've accepted Christ, but I'm not your best Christian. And I would say that I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still learning to trust, you know? But I would just kind of keep this brief. Like, for me, there's a relationship with God and there's a relationship with Jesus. And I know they can be the same thing. They are probably the same thing, but this is how I see it. Cause a lot of times, even though I had my relationship with God, I still didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I saw him as something different. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the story of how I found God and when God came to me and then when Jesus came to me.
Well, tell them.
Okay. Well, so in 2017,
And hold on, before anything, guys, I used to talk to him about God at the office.
Always.
I would always talk to him and be like, you know, God is good and this and that. And he would always see me like be so fearless and so everything, because I had this comfort in my heart that even though I was going through so many things in my life, like I always had my faith, like my faith was always very strong. And I would always tell him, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, I believe in this. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I never disrespected you in any type of way, but you always made it seem like your stuff is a little bit better. But I didn't understand, because I didn't understand how he cannot really like be involved with God, but he was spiritually connected to him in some other type of way, but it wasn't the way he is now.
I feel like God, when you do find Jesus, and Jesus comes to you, you can only know that relationship with Jesus when you're ready.
When you're ready.
When Jesus, and you know, that's the whole point of, you know, getting baptized, is like, you know, you're being called to that. And so I feel like I wasn't there.
Yeah.
So when I was, you know, I was practicing Buddhism and, you know, all these different things, trying to, you know, the chakras and the meditation, and like trying to find myself through that, you know? And so, I'll try to make this quick, but going through 2017, when I decided to sell my company, I was going through a separation with my ex-wife, and, you know, a lot of changes were happening in my life, and, it was all hitting me at the same time. And I started to just, like, I wanted to run away. And that's when I started to develop a love for hiking, because I could do that. nobody could find me or where I was at, and, you know, I was just gone, and I was just, you know, but see, that's where I connect with God. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's where he was connecting to me. And so I started challenging myself, pushing and pushing and pushing. And during that time, that's when I started to have some crazy experiences with hawks. And I feel like that's how God was talking to me, you know, like letting me know, like, do you see me now? I'm a hawk. I almost touched your head. Did you see me now? You know, and I didn't see it. So one time I got to a point where I was so overwhelmed that I called him out. And I said, look.
He said Jesus?
No, not Jesus. I wasn't that. We're not the Jesus part yet. I said, the creator, God Almighty. I said, if you exist, what's up? Where are you at? That's exactly how I said it, because I was so frustrated. And then this was New Year's Eve. I'll never forget this.
What year was this?
2017.
Oh, yeah.
New Year's Eve, 2017.
By the way, guys, that's the time you were losing everything.
Losing everything, yeah. I had already sold Recon, and I had, you know, thought I knew what I was going to do and wasn't working out, et cetera. And so I decided to go up this mountain that I never knew. Now we love this mountain, Sabria Mountain.
That's our place to go to.
But it was the first time, and I said, let me go check this out. And some crazy events. On the way up, nothing happened. And I was like, this sucks. I knew it. There you go, God. I knew it. On the way down the mountain, crazy things started to happen. So I'm driving down, and I stop at this one. I was like, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. I pull over, and I'm taking a look, and a big old truck comes up next to me and pulls over, and a lady and her husband get out. And she's like, comes next to me, and we're not even talking to each other, and out of nowhere, she goes, you know, the funny thing about divorce is that it's not about you, it's about the kids. And I'm like, okay.
Random.
Like, yeah, so we start talking, and then she's like telling me about her divorce, and the situation was similar to mine, and, you know, to make it about the kids, whatever. I was like, that was crazy, okay?
You're like, if that wasn't weird, like, Jesus, like, any who's,
right.
Who told her, like, that I'm going through divorce and stuff? Isn't that crazy? Like,
exactly.
That's pretty random.
Yeah, well, but still, I still didn't think much of that at the time, right? So then I start driving down a little more, and then I get to our favorite spot now.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull up, and by this time, this view is amazing. It was like
awesome, by the way, guys.
Yeah, it was like these two mountains. In between the mountains, the sun was setting, so it was like cotton candy sky. It was just beautiful. So I get out, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check that out. And this other car pulls up next to me, and these two ladies get out. And, you know, we're looking at it all. We're like, oh, it's amazing. And I go to her, and I go, are you going to go check that out? She goes, yep, me too. And so we start walking. You got to, like, walk into the road for a little bit before you get to this path.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the path, and now you can see the view again. It was so beautiful. She's crying before she even starts going to the path. I see it, and I just thought like a baby running to his mom. Like, I just start running to it, this view.
Because it was that memorable.
It was kind of like it was gravitating. Like, it was pulling us to it, you know? And so I start running to it, and I get there, and I'm just like, I'm in awe. I can't even speak. It's just so beautiful. And then this lady, she pulls up first, or she walks up, and then I'm like talking for a little bit, and I say, okay, well, you know what? Well, thank you for sharing this beautiful view with me. And as I walk away, she stops me and she says, hold on, Armando, you mind if I say a prayer for you? And
you were like,
yeah, and she's holding a Bible.
Uh-huh.
So she pulls it. Yeah, I was like, what the heck? Where did that come from? And then so I'm like, okay, sure, you know. And again, remember, I don't have a huge relationship with God yet. So I'm like, okay, the prayer is awkward for me, you know.
Yes.
And then she starts praying and she's like, you know, God and this and that. And then finally she starts saying, God, I know this has been a tough year for Armando. I want you know, to pray as we go into this new year. I know he's come up here looking for something. That's exactly what I was up there for.
And he was like, what the heck? Let's
go there. Yeah, exactly. So she's telling me this stuff, and I'm just like, wow. And I was just like, I was speechless. So I said, thank you. And I start to walk away. And it took me about maybe like to get to the end of the path where I realized something special just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And I turn around, and I think I posted it on my Instagram where the sky was just even more amazing. I just see these two little angels down there, you know. I call them angels because they were doing God's work, you know?
You know, every time you tell me that story, I get very emotional.
Mm.
Because I know during that time, your heart was so desperate.
You saw how broken I was.
Yeah, you were so broken, babe, that, you know, I wish I can help you out, because I think both of us were going through something too.
You were going through a lot of changes.
I was going through a lot of stuff too, and he was going. So imagine, like, for me, I'm always like, oh, I hope he's okay. But he went through something that I've never seen him this broken before. And just thinking about that moment, it still gives me like goosebumps, but it also gives me like, man, I know how that felt. I know how you probably felt. You're probably really feeling lost, but then also you felt like this huge hug and you felt like the love. I think at that
point. That was a lesson. That's how I learned.
He spoke to you.
So. Yeah, that's how I met God. That's how I'll say it. Because up until that point, what I realized after looking back at everything I was going through, you know, everything, and I tell you this even today, everything in my life worked out. It was just like, I went through my struggles, like I told you guys about, but everything worked out. It was like, I sold this company, started this company, sold this company, started this
but
company.
But everything was working out, but you didn't have God in your life.
I didn't have God in my life, right. Okay. So it was doing this, And for the first time in my life, it was like nothing I did was working anymore. And it was just like, I'm watching this ship sink, and I'm putting this one up, and I'm starting this engine. I'm throwing the water out of here, and I can't stop the ship from sinking. And that's where I got to the point where we're about to sink, and I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I feel like I want to give up. And then that's where he met me. And so the interesting thing was, as soon as I walked away from that, I got in that car, and I don't even listen to Christian music at this time, right? But I have XM radio. And the song comes on, and I forgot the name of the song, but it was basically saying, I will always be with you. And I was like, boom, I started crying. And all of a sudden, these things came into my head where I realized what was going on. You know, this entire time I was trying to do all this by myself, not realizing that that's what was getting me in trouble. Mm-hmm. It was never me. It was always God. And now it was time for me to learn the lesson. But this is what God told me, because I felt it. God told me, he gave me this example. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're in a room and you're scared. I know you're scared. I know you're dark, and I know you don't know where the door is at, but you got to find it. And I can't help you. But for the first time in my life, I knew that I wasn't in that dark room by myself. Mm. He was there. He was there watching over me and making sure that I was okay. But I had to find that exit door myself, you know? Wow. But just knowing that he was there with me made me feel like, cool, I can do this.
You felt protected. You felt like, I can do this.
Because up until that point, I felt like when you take on that role, this is because of me. I got this, whatever. When shit goes bad, you're also by yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't have God with you, you will also carry that burden by yourself. And you're really heavy. I think that's why certain people find themselves in trouble, you know?
I feel like that's why it's important to say, like, to not think that you're the one that's just doing it by yourself. Because at the end of the day, if something doesn't go right or whatever, at least you know, like, God is protecting you compared to be like, oh, I suck. I failed at this. But in reality, it's like, no, God didn't want me to go through that, or didn't want me to function in this or whatever, because he has a better plan for me. So now you walk with your head higher now because you have God in your life, but now you know that God is the one that's guiding you in every step of the way.
Absolutely. And when things do get tough, because it doesn't mean things get easy now, but when things do get tough, you know that you're not in it by yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know, I want to tell these, a lot of people don't know this, guys, that when Mondo was losing everything, I was going through my struggles too, where I had to like rent out a little one bedroom because I was losing my apartment. My cars were getting repoed. At the time, Mondo was living in a one-bedroom apartment too. But he kept like he was living in different apartments. He was always changing because of certain situations. Mm. But there was this one time I remember is that, and you would always tell me, like, are you embarrassed? Like, you deserve somebody. He would always tell me, you deserve to be with somebody else that has more money than me. And I'm like, it's okay, because at some times you couldn't help me financially. And you saw me struggle, and I said, don't worry, I will figure it out. Like, I will figure it out for myself. And you're like, yeah, but I don't feel like, you just deserve to be with somebody else. And he always told me that.
I mean, for any man, you feel like when you can't take care of your significant other, and, you know, your pride, you take a big hit to your pride, your ego, you know?
But I was like, no, I want to be with you. Yeah. I already know this. Yeah. No, we'll figure it out. But there was this one time where we slept on the floor. We were sleeping on the floor.
Yeah. I was living in a three-story house, and then eventually I moved into a one-bedroom apartment just so I can save, at that time, was like an additional $500 a month. At that time, you know, I was still kind of, you know, going through the whole situation with my ex-wife and stuff like that, and, you know, I wanted to make sure my kids were okay. So, like, 80% of what I made take home, I made sure they got it. That left me with, like, 20%. So, I didn't have enough money to, you know, like, whatever furniture I had came from the previous place. Mm-hmm. And so, whatever I spent was literally whatever little was left. and I'm at a bedroom with no furniture and just one blanket on the floor, and that's what I slept on. That blanket I slept on and covered myself at the same time.
Yeah, I would.
And then you would come over and like, I'm just like, it's embarrassing, you know what I mean?
But I didn't care. I didn't care because it was just like, dude, I really love him. I really care for him. And it, for me, was like, now we're both in a build together. Like, I'm willing to struggle with you, and I'm willing to do this with you, because I just really cared for him. For me, it wasn't about, like, the money.
Right.
Like, you had all that and stuff, but it was like... So let's go back to the part that people don't know this, but when you first bought your car, what was the first car you bought with your business?
So the first car that I bought was...
that you were like, dude, this is the one I really...
The Audi.
The Audi.
It was, yeah, so it was an Audi A8. It was like a 2014 Audi A8. At the time, it was like only like a year old. I bought it, only had like 10,000 miles or something like that. But anyways, so when I bought that car, the car I had before that was like a Nissan and then a Honda. And I remember I kind of liked the Jeeps at the time, to be honest with you. The Jeep Wranglers and stuff like that. And I asked my daughter, you know, because at the time we had nice things, but we never had nice things, right? So I asked my daughter, you know, picking her up at dance class one time and one night, and I say, do you want daddy to buy a car like that, a Jeep, or do you want something like an Audi or a Mercedes or something like that? What do you want? And she told me, I want an Audi. I said, okay. And then that just happened to be one of my dream cars, those big four-door Audi A8s, you know, and that was my first purchase. I remember getting the cashier's check for that. Like, I think I put like $16,000-$18,000 down or something like that. Dang. And then I remember just walking in there like, I don't know if I want to give this to you, you know? But that was the first purchase that I made.
And during your business, remember, he had different cars, guys. He had from the Audi, he had a Maserati, and then you sold that Maserati, and then you bought another Maserati. Mm. And then because you needed to make sure your business was running good, you sold the Maserati.
Yeah.
And then because you also had employees and you want to take care of people, right. You know, so you sacrificed a lot to make sure that your business was flowing good.
Yeah.
And you did a lot of stuff.
And I've never really been attached to those things. And that's interesting, because normally that happens like when you've got God and stuff like that. But but for me, those things were goals. So when I achieved those things, it was like, goal, yes, what's next, you know? And so even though that's one of my favorite cars, I still love that car just from because of the sound and the exhaust and stuff like that. But I was never like attached to it. So like, it wasn't a hard decision. It sucked, but it wasn't a hard decision, you know?
That's the best. Honestly, being attached to certain things, like, that's what me and him talk about, is just like, we've accomplished so many things in our life as well, but I mean, we like material stuff, but we're not attached to that.
Not attached to it, yeah.
Yeah, we're not attached to them, I think. I think that's for us. Like, for me, I'm like, I like nice things. Right. I do. And Mondo likes, I think Mondo,
I mean,
likes
nice cars. Let's be honest, though. Like, there is if you buy like a Porsche or something like that, like, you are getting like leather, nice leather. And
yeah.
I mean, you remember the Porsche, everything was leather inside.
Everything's really nice.
So there is a nice feeling to everything. So you do get what you pay for a lot of times. So,
yes.
You know, if you enjoy those things, then you should have them, you know?
Yeah, as long as you don't worship them.
Yeah, but if you and your family got to live in your Porsche because you can't pay rent, that's a different story. That means you're clinging on a little too tight there.
Tight on that.
Yeah.
So, Armando, another question is, what is it like to be with a strong, fitter woman?
Okay, it's not tough. It wasn't tough at the beginning, but it was. So, I think, this is a little bit difficult. I'm trying, because there's a lot, and I'm trying to compress it.
Say what you feel, baby.
No, I'm just trying to compress it, like make this story a little bit shorter. So, like, okay. At the beginning, it wasn't tough because Carlene came into my life, you know, wanting to learn and learning and supporting me. And, you know, but I always knew that there was like this, she's always been really strong. Like, even when she started working for me, do you remember? You kind of gave yourself the position. Right? You're like, I'm going to be assistant. I'm like, well, I'm going to interview you first. And I got to kind of take control a little bit, you know?
But then...
Yeah, but I already knew I was going to give her the job. So anyways, so I already knew she had that aggressiveness and she had that energy, that, you know, that aura, you know? So I was attracted to that. But as time went on, you know, especially after going through what I went through, you know, I'm like growing like this. And then Carlene's just like growing in so many ways. And at some point, she kind of passed me because I was stagnant. I wasn't moving anymore. I wasn't, you know, I kind of lost myself and stuff like that, which I'm sure we'll get into later. And then so she passed me, and what it was difficult at that time, it's not at the beginning, it was like halfway into our relationship where it got difficult because she was no longer that person that was looking to me for advice or answers. She became the person that didn't need me anymore. And so that's when I think we had a little bit more of the difficulties of trying to make this relationship work, because I'm like, ah, and then she's like, ah, you know?
Yeah, it was just a battle between both of me, because now, like, I feel like I had my voice, and I was like, you know, and so many things I already, like, I'm like, no, I'm going to do this my way.
And then I'm like, I don't recognize you anymore. And then you're like, well, I don't recognize you anymore. And it's because we were different people. And then that's when I had to, like, finally, when, you know, we did work on things, and I kind of saw, okay, well, you're right. I wasn't noticing you. I wasn't seeing your growth and all the amazing things that you've become. I think that's when our relationship started. Now I can have a relationship with a strong, fitting woman, because now I understand her role, her strengths, and she can be those, and I appreciate her for those things, and vice versa.
Yeah, now I think now we're both in the place where now we're both at the same level. I think we're just both the same level. There's nobody that's higher than lower. Right. We never see it that way. We see it as, like, you know, we know what we want now, and, you know, with life now with him, it's not a battle anymore. I think because you found yourself too. Yeah, we do everything together. And he supports me in everything that I do, and I support everything that he does, you know, and I'm building my stuff. But there's, because we both have goals and dreams, you know, I think that's where a lot of people, like, feel like the wife can't have her dreams because she also follow her husband. But I feel like God gives us all dreams that I feel like you should support. Or either way, you know, like, for example, I would never tell you, like, no, you can't do that because I'm doing this, and you should do it because I'm doing it, you know? It's always been, he's been very supportive in that area where he's just like, yeah, babe, like, whatever you want, like, this podcast, like, he supported me on this podcast, you know? He's like, do it, babe, like, I think it's a good idea, and the same thing with him, I'm like, yeah, babe, do it, but we help each other along the way. There's not, like, I'm better than you, you're better than me, and, you know, now, because you're not in that place anymore, now I think we both grew in so many ways. Like, his change has grown tremendously from where he was at, where he was lost back in 2017. He was very, very lost and very broken. He was going through that stuff, you know, that
struggle. I don't even think that was the worst. I think probably the worst was, like, 2021.
Yeah.
Maybe some of 2022. Yeah. That was my worst.
It was hard, babe. It was really hard because there was times that we couldn't pay for, like, bills. We couldn't pay for certain things. And, you know, I don't know how I know how we made it happen. I know how everything worked out, you know, with God's help along the way. I think we got closer to God around during those times.
Well, 2021 is when I met Jesus.
Yeah.
That was not easy either, but that's when he came into
yeah, my life. So I just feel like it's our journey has been crazy. Your journey has been crazy. And the fact that, you know, you had to lose it all, but you really didn't lose it all because you gained a lot from what you went through.
First of all, nothing is ours. It all belongs to God.
Yes, it is.
And so I think during that time, God saw me unfit to be a steward of his kids, what he wanted me to have. Or, you know, I feel like we all have a purpose. We all have gifts that God gives us. And through those gifts, we accomplish things, you know. And if you are a good steward, God will give you more to manage. Like, let's say that. And I think God saw what I was doing. And even though I didn't have a good relationship with God, I was doing good things and growing and, you know, and taking care of people. And then at one point, I just wasn't a good steward no more, and God took it away, you know?
So now that you finally realize everything that went down with you, like, you gained it and then you lost it, what is something that you're going to do different now?
Well, number one, I mean, obviously, everything, I have a relationship with God now, so he's involved in everything.
He has to be involved. Yes.
So, number one, that's the most important change. But also, you know, through all these struggles, you get smarter, you get wiser, you learn a lot of lessons, you kind of know what not to do, how not to treat people. And I feel like that's the easy part. Those lessons, it's just called experience. But I think making sure that God's a part of that this time, that's what's going to keep me in check. He's going to help. And when I pray and things get hard and I go to him, I know he's going to always be there for me to help me out.
Yes, and I think that's the best, honestly, because that's how we both run our businesses. Mm. Everything that we do with God. Like, I feel like it's very important because now there's a purpose behind it. Obviously, God gives us these visions and these dreams and just having him along the way. Like, he gave it to us. So he's our business partner in everything that we do. And I feel like that's what has been successful just recently, you know, with things that are happening now with you, things are opening up for you. And it's crazy because now you've actually given it to God and God's like, well, I'm going to make it happen for you. And it has been easier. And I know you kind of still struggle with
it's been easier, but
I see it differently.
Yeah. So my struggle is easier. So the difficulties are not easier, obviously, but my struggles are easier. So like when I go through these hard times in my life now, or these challenges I'm going through, it's not like, it doesn't hit me like I don't know what to do anymore, because when I get to that point and I get to that point where I get that frustrated feeling like where before I ran away and I went hiking, whatever, I'm like, okay, this is where like I'm at that ledge and there's that little gap. And then at this is where I know I'm going to make it, but I don't know how. And that's when I give it to God. And when I give it to God, that's when he comes through in the way that he... So that's why it really is true where everybody says God's always on time.
He's always on time.
When he's on time is when you come to that point. But if you're here and here's that little ledge and you don't even go there, that's where I've learned he's not going to show up. Mm-hmm. He's not going to show up because you haven't done your part yet.
You got to do the work.
You got to do your work. Once you truly get to a point where you're like, I've exhausted every single thing, and then you pray and give it to God, that's when he shows up.
Things that you got to do the work. And everything that you do, you have to do the work, and God is going to provide, or he's going to open the doors for you. He's going to make something happen, but you got to, you got to put in that work.
Right.
Another question for you, Mr. Lopez, is, you know, with everything that's been going on, what do you see in the future? Like, what is something that you're working on right now that you're like, dude, I finally feel like I got it. Like, I'm back. Like, I'm back, bitches.
Well, I never left the supplement industry, right? Even when I did had to get a little job last year, I was still somewhat in the nutraceutical area. But I never left the supplement industry, but I've always been trying to figure out my way back and, you know, go different branding. I'm pretty sure you guys have seen 1,000 different versions of Howlkin already.
It's been a lot,
yeah. But I'm like, here it is, guys. This is it. Get ready, you know. But a lot of that was because of the growth changes I was going through. And I'll just tell you right now that once you lose everything and then you get it back, you can still get it back. You can still you can work your way back to rebuilding. But there's a mindset change that you have to fight through, because it will never be as easy as the beginning. You know what I mean? I don't know if I should look here, but it'll never be as easy as the beginning. Like you have to kind of break through something, because you're always going to be a little bit scared. That makes sense. You know what I mean?
I believe so.
And so now things that I'm building right now, I'm back in the supplement industry. We got some great products we're about to create.
Great partnerships too.
Partnerships. Yeah, we're working with an amazing manufacturer now that we're actually partnering with, who basically they're going to make sure that our products are the best of the best. Test it so you know that everything that you get in these products is going to be exactly what's on the label. So I'm just really excited, because everything that I had before was just kind of like these little steps that was given to me. And I feel like everything in this stage or this season of my life, everything's being put in place.
Exactly. And we're actually formulating some cool stuff, guys. As you guys know, my background as a nutritionist, you know, working with Armando too, and then combining certain things that we both are looking into, like things that make you feel better because of my illness or stuff that he was dealing with. So he's a good formulator. So now we have somebody else that's going to...
You're right. Someone else has been in the business for a long time. They actually, if I were to say their name, everybody would know who she is. So just really excited to bring a different level of product to everybody, because my products have always been the best. I've always created the best of the best. But now to have a system that also confirms that, yes, sir, this is the best, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to be something great that I'm able to offer my customers.
I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I'm really excited about that, because we've been working really hard on creating some supplements that are really going to be beneficial to a lot of you guys. And the fact that, you know, because we use it on our own daily life, like, what is something that, for me, like, because I was sick recently, like, I always was looking for more natural stuff, more natural supplements, and, you know, more things to help me. So now we've been working on that, where it's just, like, creating products that are going to be not just like for the gym, but also just for
our. You know, I think a lot of us have realized through after the pandemic and stuff like that that like how just important. I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay, cool, bro. You got a lot of energy. You got some big muscles. That's great, bro. But you got COVID. Now all of a sudden it doesn't matter what you look like. You're fighting for your life.
Health is wealth, baby.
And so once you realize that how important health is, well, plus we are getting a little bit older. You know, these certain things, anti-aging and cell vitalization and stuff like that, these things become more important for us.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, not just, you know, older people, but younger people are starting to realize as well, like,
yes,
we got to be healthy if we want to continue doing the things that we love, being in the gym or whatever, you know?
Yes, I think like now that we're older, I think people are really seeing that now. Mm. I think everybody's evolving to that, like, I gotta stay a little bit healthier and stuff, take my vitamins. Even the girls with their skincare and stuff like that. Right. So you're starting to see that more. I think that's pretty, pretty awesome. I'm really excited for that because it's like, that's where we met, where he's back, where now he's doing something and partnering with somebody that can create his vision, be back into, to bring it back to life.
Right.
And at the same time, now with God in his life.
Exactly. And also to mindset. So there's something through, you know, listening to you with your program and things you're working on with the Strong Fit In challenges, I think that you're working on, stuff like that. Like there's, you know, I think it was you and Alan and then also my brother. It was some kind of something that I was at the final stage where I was recreating everything, and it got this amazing partnership, and got the approval with her, like, okay, cool, we're gonna make this happen. And it was still like these old things that were starting to get in my mind again, like, is this the right brand? Is it right, you know? And I felt like it was something, you know, that you helped me out through a lot, you know, through your coaching and everything, that you kind of like gave me some advice, and I was like, you're right. And then it was like this last like wall that I just kind of broke through
it,
and it was like, how came this back and this and that, and the website's back up, and it was just like it unleashed this flood.
And you're a different person now.
And I feel like now I'm revitalized and re-energized, and I'm ready to take over again, you know, but this time with God, obviously.
With God. And it's crazy. I love seeing your new growth. I love seeing your changes, and just it gets me excited because I'm like, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, because we've been praying about this month for a long time. As a partner, you want to make sure that your partner is good, you know? Like for me, I know what you've always been able to accomplish. I've always told you this from the beginning. I'm like, babe, like, you've got what it takes. I don't think you see what I see.
Right.
And I would always tell him that. I'm like, I don't think you see exactly what I see in you. Don't ever doubt yourself. And sometimes he would show me people that were amazing and stuff, or their business owners. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, for me, it wasn't exciting because I'm like, all right, bro, like, you know, you're one of them too. You understand that you're this person too. But I think at that moment, because you were losing everything, you couldn't see it because
you can like
didn't feel
I
good.
Mean, if you're a champion fighter and you get defeated, and then God forbid it happens again, you lose your second fight after you've been a champion, you start to doubt yourself. You start to think it's over. You're like, I'm never going to be the best that I was, or I'm never going to be, I can't be a champion ever again. And that's 1,000% not true. And there's something that, but there's something that you got to fight through and you got to get through. And sometimes, you know, like for me, I'm very blessed that I have people, you know, I have you, I have Adrian, I have, you know, even Danny Dodgers, like, you know, you guys saw something in me when I couldn't see it myself. And that's very important. And I feel like that's why a lot of people, you should always communicate. If you feel some type of way, you know, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, you know what, I just feel like I suck, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and because sometimes you do need someone else to be like, no, you don't, bro. You know, and that little thing can mean so much. Just that, and that's what you've done for me. Like, you know, when I couldn't see it, you saw it and you helped drag me out of that. And so I'm here. I'm out. We're ready to fight, you know?
Yeah, because I see it. I've always seen it. And that's the thing. That's why I always tell the girls too. Like when I speak to you guys on here, it's just, I'm not just saying it just to be motivational. Mm-hmm. Like I really do mean it, because we all have a beautiful purpose. We all have a gift that God has given us and stuff. So with Mondo, I've always saw that in him. I've always seen it because come on. I'm like, bro, you have a track record. Hello. Like you have, you have receipts already, babe. Like you've done it in the past. You've already done this before. Like, I want you to believe that you can do it again.
Yeah.
What do they say? Once a millionaire, always a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So guys, this is part of the end of our podcast, but if you guys want to listen to more, let us know. Let me know. Send me messages. Send me DMs. But this interview was honestly amazing. If you guys want to keep hearing about his story, if you have more questions, go ahead and DM me, guys. But I'm really proud of him. I'm really proud of his journey. I'm really proud that he was able to see how amazing he is and that he had potential to do whatever he wanted to do. So now he's back. Halkin is back. And I'm super, super excited to share this new journey with you guys. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. And don't forget that you guys are amazing and you got what it takes because you are stronger every day.